Reverse sampling for transitions, resampling only, advanced drum and bass in Ableton Live. All right, in this lesson we're going to build transitions that sound like they were born inside your track, because they literally are. We're not grabbing risers from a sample pack, we're not exporting stems, we're not doing sneaky freeze and flatten workarounds. We're going to record your actual mix output using resampling, reverse that audio, and sculpt it into a set of transition tools, a reverse crash and tail that ramps into the drop, a reverse snare pull that screams jungle and DNB, and a reverse bass wash that feels like the track is inhaling right before impact. This technique is one of the fastest ways to get that instant DNB cohesion, because the tone, the space, the distortion, the vibe, it all matches your record automatically. Your transitions stop sounding like stickers and start sounding like structure. Let's set up the session properly first, because resampling is powerful and it can also get chaotic if you print the wrong stuff. Step 1. Pick your target moment. Most DNB is around 174 BPM, but the exact tempo isn't the point. The point is choosing a specific landing point on the grid. Usually we're building tension into the drop, so a classic target is the downbeat of the drop at 1.1.1. Another great target in DNB is 3.1.1, the midpoint of a phrase, because those turnarounds keep the energy rolling for DJs and listeners. Decide, are we making a one-bar reverse into the drop, a half-bar lift, or a tiny two-beat micro-suck? Know that now. It will save you time later. Now create a dedicated print track. Add a new audio track and name it Resample Print. Set audio from to resampling. Set monitor to off. That monitor off part is not optional. It prevents feedback loops and keeps your routing sane. Then record arm the track. Next, here's a pro move. Create a print safe transition bus. Because resampling captures everything you hear, including your returns. That means your long delays and random reverb tails might accidentally get baked into the print. And then, when you reverse it, you get this messy, smeary whoosh that fights the groove. So, route your main group's drums, bass, music, effects into a dedicated track called Transition Bus. Set that track to monitor in, so you can still hear it. Then, when it's time to print, you solo the transition bus and record the resample. Meanwhile, your resample print track stays on monitor off. That combination lets you hear the full session when you want, but print only what you intend when you need precision. Cool. Now we're ready to print something worth reversing. Here's the key concept. For a pre-drop reverse, you often want to sample audio from after the drop. Yes, after. Because if you record the first hit or first bar of the drop, then reverse it, it becomes a perfect pull into that exact moment. The transition becomes like a magnetic suction into the downbeat. So go to the drop. Set a loop brace for 1 to 2 bars after the drop starts. 2 bars gives you options. 4 bars is great if you want a longer sweep, but don't overdo it. DNB likes precision. Hit record and capture that chunk into resample print. Stop recording. Now trim the clip cleanly so it starts exactly where you want. Then consolidate it. Command or Control J. Rename it something like Drop Print 2BAR. Stay organized, because once you realize how good this is, you'll print a lot of variations. Now let's reverse it and warp it correctly. Duplicate the clip first, so you always have an original. Then in the clip view, hit reverse. Turn warp on. Warp mode matters a lot here. If you printed full mix or anything tonal bass, synths, atmospheres, use Complex Pro. It stays smooth when you stretch or align. If you printed mostly drums, beats mode can be tighter. Set preserve to transients and try values around 50 to 80. If it gets clicky or stuttery in a bad way, switch back to Complex Pro. Trust your ears over the rules. Now we have to make it land perfectly. And this is where advanced transitions go from pretty cool to how did you do that? Use the anchor click technique. Find the exact transient that you want to be the landing moment. Often it's the first kick and snare combo of the drop, or the first crash that marks the downbeat. Drop a warp marker right on that transient. Then drag that warp marker so it sits exactly on 1.1.1, or whatever your chosen target is. Now, even if you later change the clip length, move the start point, or do edits, the reverse will always resolve exactly where it needs to. This is how you keep that drop impact feeling locked, not almost right. All right, now let's shape the reversed audio into an actual suck-in riser. Put the reversed clip onto a new audio track called REV Transition. We're going to use a stock device chain that's very DNB friendly. EQ8, Auto Filter, Utility, Reverb, Saturator, then a limiter for safety. First, EQ8, high pass it. Seriously. Reverse transitions love to steal low-end headroom. Start around 150 to 300 Hz. If your mix is heavy, you might go even higher. You're not trying to build sub energy here. You're building tension and motion, while leaving the sub and kick to hit clean on the drop. If it's harsh, dip around 3 to 6 kHC by a couple dB. Small moves. Next, auto filter. Set it to a low pass 24 dB slope. Now automate the cutoff over the bar. Start kind of closed somewhere, around 600 HE to maybe 1.5 kHC, then open it towards the end up to 12 or even 18 kHC. This is a classic reveal curve, muffled at first, then ripping open right before impact. Add a touch of resonance, like 10 to 20%, but be careful. Too much resonance makes it whistle and that can get cheesy fast in DNB. Next, utility. We're going to automate stereo width for impact control. This is one of those small details that makes your drop feel bigger without actually making it louder. Try starting the reverse a bit wide, like 120 to 160%, then narrow it to around 80 to 100% right before the drop. It's like the sound focuses into the center, and then the drop explodes outward with its own stereo information. Quick teacher note, do not widen low frequencies. That's why we high pass first. Wide lows collapse in mono and smear the punch. Now reverb. This is for size and tail. Set a medium to large size, maybe 60 to 90. Decay anywhere from 2 to 6 seconds depending on how dramatic you want it. Pre-delay can be low, like 0 to 20 milliseconds, and use the reverb high cut around 6 to 10 kHC to keep it controlled. DNB needs punch. If your transition turns into a bright splash, it'll mask the drums. Then saturator. Drive it 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip-on. This helps it feel aggressive and glued. If it gets too fizzy, you can add another EQ after the saturator and shave a bit around 7 to 10 kHC. Finally, limiter. Ceiling around minus 0.8 dB. It's just catching peaks, not crushing the life out of it. Now automate a few things. Auto filter cutoff rising through the bar. Reverb dry slash wet either rises slightly into the drop for drama, or drops right before the downbeat to create a vacuum. Try both. The falling reverb into a dry impact is a nasty, heavy trick. And if needed, a tiny utility gain ramp, like plus half a dB to 2 dB. But keep your gain staging disciplined. Here's a rule that keeps drops hitting hard. Treat these reverse elements like foreground effects, not instruments. Aim for them to peak around minus 12 to minus 6 dB on their own track. If you slam them to compete with your drums, you lose contrast. And contrast is what makes the drop feel huge. Now let's make the reverse snare pull. This is the jungle and DNB signature move. Solo your snare, or your snare bus, and resample one or two hits into resample print. Then reverse it, prop it short. Think 1/8 note to 1/4 bar. You want a quick inhale, not a long wash. Then place it so the swell ends exactly on the snare hit you want to emphasize. Usually that's the last backbeat before the drop, or a pre-drop snare that signals here we go. Eck it. High pass around 200 to 400 HC. If it needs body, you can gently lift around 180 to 240 HC, but only if your snare design calls for it. And add presence around 2 to 5 KHC if it disappears in the mix. Optional. Add a gate to tighten the tail so it doesn't smear the groove. DNB groove is sacred. If your reverse snare makes the drums feel late or blurry, tighten it. Layering trick. Still within resampling only rules, duplicate the reverse snare and pitch it up. On the duplicate, transpose it up 7 or 12 semitones. Blend it quietly. That gives you a sharper little zip on top, like a high-pressure inhale. It's subtle, but it reads on small speakers. Now the reverse bass wash. This is big for neuro, techie rollers, anything heavier. Solo your bass group, maybe leave a little drums in if you want texture, and resample one bar into resample print. Reverse it and put it on a track called REV bass wash. Now shape it so it doesn't fight the sub. EQ8. High pass around 120 to 250 HC. This is non-negotiable. The sub belongs to the actual drop. Then auto filter. Try a band pass with moderate resonance. Band pass makes it feel like moving energy rather than just opening brightness. You can add chorus ensemble very subtly in ensemble mode, low amount, just to widen and thicken the mids. If you want it to pump, add a compressor and sidechain it from the kick. That way it breathes rhythmically into the drop. Arrangement tip. Place it one bar before the drop and then cut it dead on the downbeat. That sudden silence is impact. You're basically framing the drop with a vacuum. Now we've got three reverse layers, the full mix swell, the reverse snare pull, and the reverse bass wash. Time to turn it into something reusable. Group those tracks into a group called REVFX bus. On the group, put a glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. We're gluing, not flattening. Add drum bus lightly. Drive around 2 to 8. Keep boom off or very low, because again, we're not building low end here. Then a final utility for overall gain automation across phrases. This is where you can make the 8-bar transition subtle and the 16-bar transition more dramatic. Once it feels good, save the group as a preset. This becomes your personal transition rack, built from your own music. Now, advanced editing habits that will level this up. Do timing edits and arrangement, not just clip view. When you're doing micro gaps, like a 1/16th cut before the drop, it's faster to split the audio with Command or Control E and nudge pieces while watching the grid. You can create that professional edited FX feel by making a few intentional cuts instead of one long whoosh. Try the micro gap strategy. Option A. Cut everything, including the reverse, for 1/16th before the drop. Brutal, heavy, very modern. Option B. Cut only the reverse FX for 1/16th, but let a tiny bit of room tail from the main mix carry. Smoother, still punchy. Compare both and pick what matches your substyle. Also, check mono compatibility before you commit. Throw a utility on the master and set width to 0% for a second. If your reverse disappears, you went too wide or you widened frequencies that shouldn't be wide. Pull back the width, or high pass more aggressively before widening. Wide highs are fun. Wide low mids are usually a problem. Now, a few advanced variations you can do without breaking the resampling only rule. Pre-reverse windowing. Before you reverse the printed clip, add a short fade in and fade out, consolidate, then reverse. The swell becomes smoother and less click-prone. Triple stage reverse. Take the same print and make three lengths. A tiny 1/16th to 1/8th reverse tick, percussive and quick. A half bar reverse lift, a 1 to 2 bar reverse wash. Then place them in sequence leading into the drop. Small details first, then the big inhale. This is exactly how ProFX editing feels. Narrative, not just noise. This audio version is shortened for playback.